Blog Talk Radio.
Generally, the Constitution is a charter of negative liberties. Says what the states can't do to you, says what the federal government can't do to you, but it doesn't say what the federal government or the state government must do on your behalf.
Fast on a rough road, riding high.
You didn't build that.
Through the mountains, climbing, twisting, turning, further from my home.
Shut up your mouth, Mr. Obama. Shut up your mouth, Mr. Obama.
Be young, like a new moon rising, fierce.
I've got a pen.
Through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive, I was born free.
I've got a pen.
I was born free.
And I've got a phone.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Like the grandest canyon, wild, like an untamed stallion. If you can't see my heart, you must be blind.
What difference at this point does it make?
You can knock me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free.
I've got a pen.
Aboard the program. I'm your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, where we are dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom, regardless of the cost. Now, remember, shipmates, freedom ain't cheap, but we can afford it. It's tyranny that we cannot afford. You want to be a part of the program today? Don't be shy. 646-716-7978, or you can join the captain's chat room. Well, you know it as well as I do. As long as there's one stinking liberal on planet frickin' Earth, it is a very, very, very busy news day. Well, again, today is no exception, so we must lift our jib and get this freedom ship underway. All righty, we are officially underway and headed out to sea. Bosun mate, shift colors. Okay, I got a lot to talk about today. It's going to be kind of hard to get into it, but I think we have to get into it. But before we get into it, I just want to give another reminder out there, and I'm going to keep talking about this. I know the mainstream media won't discuss it. Oh, God, no. We can't actually talk about a 15-year-old girl and several other children. At least 94 of them, we know, died. God knows how many across it, how many other states are involved in this. The media doesn't want to touch that. Oh, God, no. Can't talk about Benghazi either. Oh, God, no. But we should talk about them cows. Because Clive and Bundy used the N-word. Negro. Well, there are so many... there are so many angles to this little... what started out to be grazing fees and turtles and this, and it just has... just built into this. This is a perfect storm, man. It's a perfect stew of anything and everything that is going wrong with this country. I think this is going to be, it's going to be like, you know, when you press an atom together and they explode, I guess, in that nuclear fusion or whatever. Hell, I don't know. Combined into this war, and it just keeps getting more and more and more and more and more. I mean, eventually the pressure's got to be so much that it's just going to, it's going to freaking explode. But yeah, we can't get anybody to talk about a 15-year-old girl held in a room left to die with no medical attention because her parents dared to disagree with the snot-nosed little brat 7 months out of frickin' medical school. So she's got to be removed from the family. Well, there is a protest. The American Psychiatric Association, Mind Freedom, is organizing the protest against the American Psychiatric Association. First of all, a lot of this psychiatric crap, I don't buy a lot of it. Some of these guys, a lot of these, far too many of them are quacks. Do I believe in there is some psychology? Yeah, of course. The psychology isn't going to work for every single buddy. They get themselves all trapped up into a book that somebody, you know, took an acid trip, wrote it down. Oh, look at this. This is great. Whoa, oh, this is, oh. It's the next greatest thing, and they got to adopt it as if they did it themselves. Most of that crap, they're talking about themselves. And most of these shrinks, they got shrinks themselves. I mean, what the hell? Your best shrink is you. You need a psychologist? You need a psychiatrist? You need an advisor? Look in the friggin' mirror. You're the only one that knows you, that really knows you. And any lie that you tell, you're not telling to anybody else but yourself. You got a problem with? Well, you got to deal with it. And just with this, you see a problem? The state is kidnapping kids and throwing them into the welfare department? Where they're pushed and prodded and slapped because they won't obey? That's right. She wants to see her parents. She wants to see her doctor. She'd like to go back to taking those vitamins that was helping her. She wants to walk again. She wants to talk again. Jesus Christ, I'd disobey you too. Hello? But if you want to protest these jackwagons, Sunday, May 4th, 12 p.m., 34th and 11th, across from the Jacob Javits Center. And the other one is in, there's another one in Framingham, where Justina is going to be housed. That's the Wayside facility in Framingham. That's at 1 to 4 this Sunday in Framingham, Massachusetts. And, of course, at the Massachusetts State House, again this Sunday, bring a stuffed animal to the Massachusetts State House. So there's a lot going on in Massachusetts. And I hate saying that word. They need to change the name of that goddamn state. It's too many But anyway, if you can make it to Framingham, if you can make it to Boston, the Massachusetts State House, if you can make it to New York City May 4th, make it there. Force the media to actually do their goddamn job. I mean, they can talk about cows and turtles and Negroes, but they can't talk about children being kidnapped from their parents, from the state, so people can get grants, so people can have money to go out and buy new boats. Look at the economy. It's great. It's booming. Look at all the jobs that we created. Yeah, by stealing kids and abusing them. Gee, I hope that new car is worth it. We can't talk about them. Well, see, this is what I don't understand. I mean, what's going on in this Bundy Ranch? Now, what's going on there? I mean, is there a fight there to be fought? Yeah. There's a lot of fights that are going on down there at that Bundy Ranch. There's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of people pulling from a lot of different directions and a lot of other people coming in. They're pushing. They're pulling. I just sense that this is going to be the catalyst to something that could potentially be very big. I mean, this is history book big. Can we avoid it? I think the American people can figure it out. Whether the politicians, the so-called leaders, can, well, that's a whole other goddamn story. Will the American people allow the so-called leaders to get away with it? Again, a whole other story. But now the Bundy Ranch, and I was watching some clips on Glenn Beck yesterday. And he was talking about his interview that he had with this Cliven Bundy. Now, everybody's jumping off the Cliven Bundy bandwagon. He's a racist now. I don't want to have this discussion. But it is a very important discussion. I think it must be discussed. And I think that's really what is actually missing. It's the actual discussion, which includes listening and paying attention, not hearing what you want to hear and then assume and accuse the rest, which far too many people do, both left and right, human beings. It's lazy. Now, when I heard, just what he said, and I'm going to read it, of what he said, so you know what I'm talking about. I didn't really find it as racist as what the whole world is exploding themselves over on. I understood, I was trying to listen to figure out what the hell he was talking about, and I think I did figure out what the hell, how I took it. I didn't really have to figure, think and discuss all, for hours. I understood what he was talking about. I just don't think that he worded it all that well. I think he's got two broken left-handed tongues and tripped all over him damn self. We're going to get into what I mean by that. I'm not sticking up for anybody, and I'm not putting anybody down. I just see things how I see things. I'm looking at this objectively. I'm seeing all the angles. And let me tell you, there's angles involved in this everywhere. All the things that are going wrong with this country, corruption, racism, phony racism, thisism, thatism, EPA, Bureau of Land Management, all these government agencies, everybody's in charge. Crooked senators, crooked governors, crooked sheriffs, everybody's on the take. Everybody wants. Everybody's greedy. Everybody's got to have the land. There's enough there for everybody if everybody just shut up and go their other way. But this is much more than cows and turtles and wind farms. And now it's got racism involved in it, which, I mean, now Glenn Beck had a conversation with him, and he got a much better sense and a much better feeling of who this Cliven Bundy is than I did. So that's why I can't stick up for anybody, and I can't put anybody down on it. I can just give my take on what all that I'm seeing. Is this Cliven Bundy a little bit off his frickin' rocker? Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, I think it wasn't that difficult to pick up on that as first interviews. You didn't really know where he was going, what he was saying sometimes, and then he would, But, and now he comes out and he's talking about the Negro. Well, I think I understood what he was trying to say. I don't think he articulated it as well, but then when you listen to what Glenn Beck had to say when he had a personal conversation, so then you have to kind of wonder, what is this guy, how deep is this dude, man? Is everybody taking it the wrong way? Sometimes it happens. People love, they hear the word Negro. a white man say the word Negro, and now all of a sudden, good God, everybody's got to run from him. Oh, God, he's a racist, racist, racist. Now, I did not have that conversation with Glenn Beck. But according to him, and I mean, Glenn Beck is not a person that I would suspect is a big fat liar, liar, pants on fire, and has no reason to do so. But on the surface of what I heard, now here's, this is his words. This is him. This is Cliven Bundy. I want to tell you one more thing I know about the Negro. And in front of that government house, the door was usually open, and the older people and the kids, and there was always at least a half dozen sitting on the porch. They didn't have nothing to do. They didn't have nothing for their kids to do. They didn't have nothing for their young girls to do. And because they were basically on government subsidy, meaning welfare, so now, what do? They abort their young children. They put their young men in jail because they never learned how to pick cotton. And I've often wondered, are they better off as slaves, picking cotton and having a family life and doing things, or are they better off under government subsidy? They didn't get no more freedom. They got less freedom. Now, that by itself, and the reason I'm bringing this stuff up, look, I'm not going on any side here. I'm just objective observer here. If this was said by a black man, no one would have one damn thing to say about it. Matter of fact, this sounds like something I have heard black people say. How I took what he was talking about. Now, if you go back in the 30s, or after World War II, in the 40s when they were all being, all the Jews were being rescued from their prison camps and ghettos and what have you not. Well, when they went home, they found a home that wasn't theirs anymore. They still had nowhere to go. Nor were they treated all that well. They were, well, free, but were they really free? When the blacks were first freed, were they really free? Not in a lot of places. Some places there might have been some. But in a lot of places, no. There were Negro laws. They couldn't go into this part. They couldn't go to that part. The kids couldn't go to this school. They couldn't vote, even though they had a constitutional right to do so. Couldn't do this, couldn't do that. So was there some of that? Yeah. But in today, I'm sure there probably are people that feel that way. Maybe there is. I don't know. I don't know where it is. I'm not saying that I'm naive and saying that it doesn't exist. I've just not seen it firsthand. But when you listen to some of this stuff, I mean, they become, when they're on government subsidy. So now what do? Well, they abort their young, which statistics do show that black people are, well, black women. If you break down the color, why do we got to break down the color? We know there's roughly 1.6 million a year abortions in this country. Why do we have to break it down by color? I don't know, but we do. But the majority of them are black. Black women get more abortions than any other color. Which maybe if we'd stop focusing on the stupid color and start focusing on the goddamn individual once in a while, we might all be a lot better off. But we got to put everybody in groups, and then we go out and give speeches about inequality, segregation, racism. discrimination. But yet here you are putting everybody in all these groups. Well, how can you be integrated when everybody's segregated? They put their young men in jail. Well, there's a lot of black people in jail. Not for nothing, but there are. Look, I didn't arrest them. I didn't have anything to do with it. I just know the numbers. And they never learned how to pick cotton. Now, I did not take that as, I know what he's trying to say. He meant a job. Do some kind of a craft, some kind of something, some kind of something. Farm this and that. I think he should have used the word job. Now, if he really meant that, again, I don't have no idea what's in this man's heart. I can't determine what is in anybody's heart other than mine. And even then, it's goddamn questionable. Sometimes I've got to question myself. We all do. Just the way it is. But how I understood, you know, it just seemed like to me that what he meant by pick cotton was a job. And I've often wondered, were they better off as slaves picking cotton? Again, you know, having a steady job. Yeah. And having a family life. Oh, yeah, until you're sold. And doing things. Or they're better off under government subsidy. They didn't get more freedom. They got less freedom. Well, in a sense, yeah. They, you know, I guess there are some people in some community somewhere who would probably agree with that. Yeah, we got less freedom. Yeah, I don't have to show up to the Massa House every day and go out in the fields. But am I really free? Being homeless? I don't know. I guess that is ultimate freedom. But I think he was trying to make a point. Did they really get their freedom? Are they really free? They're still stuck in these ghettos and this and that. I think the guy is just a little ignorant. I think that's what's missing in here. And I think, I didn't have the conversation with Glenn Beck. I wasn't there. I can only go by what his words are. But I think there's that his ignorance right there when he said pick cotton. I just think he's a little ignorant, and he doesn't exactly know how to really communicate what he's trying to say very well. Maybe somebody in the family should say, dude, no more press conferences. Shut up. Evidently, this Cliven Bundy yelled at some staff members of Glenn Beck's show. Had one of his editors call. And he chewed him out and screamed at him and hollered at him and yada, 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 called him all kinds of stuff. And evidently this particular guy is like the nicest guy in the world. Of course they all are. Then he calls up Glenn back and apologizes and says, I'm sorry, I was in the middle of all kinds of stuff, blah, 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 blah. Glenn says, well, I want to talk about your faith. Evidently, Cliven Bundy is a Mormon. Well, so is Glenn Beck. So he wanted to cover the angle on faith instead of talking about cows and turtles and snipers. He wanted to just simply cover the faith part. Well, I guess they were doing this, and then he wanted to talk about disarming the government. Well, that's what freaked Glenn Beck out. Now again, when I heard that, I understood how I took it. Maybe I'm listening. Maybe I'm not saying that I understand what exactly what is in this man's heart. Again, I wasn't in the conversation, but I think I know what he's talking about. And he does. If he knew it, if he'd be able to articulate it. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm. You know, again, I am left to interpret because I wasn't privy to the, you know, the actual conversation. But how I took that part. Now I lost my goddamn train of thought. Ah, he was talking about Glenn Beck and, God, it's right on the tip of my tongue. Don't you hate it when this happens? You got so much, there's so many things going on with this. There's something else pops into your head and you just explode. And that's what's going to happen down there.
It is going to explode.
Maybe a shot of grog will bring me back. Oh, there it does. See, grog does it all the time. He wanted to have the government disarmed. Well, I think I know what he's talking about, and how I took it, and how I believe, and what I actually believe. Yeah, the Bureau of Land Management should not have guns. The EPA should not have guns. The goddamn post office should not have guns. These agencies, Social Security does not need weapons. They do not need, I mean, come on. Look, you got people that are doing something, some kind of fraud, some kind of this. You need people arrested? Okay, well, they've got, you know, you've got city police if you need it in town. You've got county mounties if you need something in the county outside of the city. You've got state troopers. You know, you need something in the state. You know, if you need to go bigger than that, you got FBI. But now you don't need to do that. Everybody, what do? They just sit behind the desk and they got these little, you know, calculators and they're bean counters and they're on their computers. They're filling out paperwork and signing things and going to the copy machine, looking at that pretty secretary's legs as she crosses them at her desk, and it drives you nuts and you can't do anything about it. You spill your coffee all over yourself, now you're a fool. Then all of a sudden the red light starts to flash and sirens go off and everybody puts on their Delta Force commando gear. We got to go out to the Bundy Ranch. Bring your dogs. Bring your snipers. Bring your tasers. Bring your guns. Yeah, but what about that 15-year-old girl that's been, you know, left in a room to die with no medication, no doctors? Ah, she ain't worth as much as these cows. Jesus Christ almighty. But that's how, I mean, I didn't have that conversation with Beck. And it's so easy, as soon as you say a word, everybody, you know, oh, that's a code word, now we got it, well, they're like the plague. Now, is there more going to come out with this guy? Is there really more going to come out with this guy probably saying racist stuff? I don't know. Maybe he's giving a sermon or something. I don't know. I didn't really take it as wishing that black people were slaves. I did not take it that way. I'm not out looking to not take it anyway. I didn't take it in any direction. I've never really been so much, Clive and Bundy, oh, the next for president. I mean, come on. I mean, I'm not that way. But this war that's going on down there, I believe, is a war over everything. I think this is where it's going to start here. This is where something big is either going to happen or we're going to figure out that what we're doing is wrong and then change. And you can change a lot of stuff overnight. Boom, done. Will we? No. Not unless everybody's been paid. And what really, really bothers me about this is, I mean, I know the right is very quick to disown their own if there's any kind of hint of racism. Okay, fine. I know we're uber sensitive over race. Okay, fine. The reason why is because, yeah, was there a lot of racism in this country? Yeah, there's a racism in any country, every country. There's been racism since human beings were different races, and there's always going to be racism. You can't get around it. The amount of racism, however, this is the problem. When all you hear is racism, racism, racism everywhere, that's all you hear. So when you hear one word, Negro, immediately racist, racist, racist. Instead of trying to figure out what the hell is really deep inside this dude's heart. Now, again, is he a little off his rocker? I think so. He's a little, you know, maybe he's been on the ranch for so long. Out there on the range and just, you know, I don't know. Who the hell knows? Got range fever. I don't know. But so what? Give me a human being that isn't off their frickin' rocker. I want to meet this super being. Now, again, I did not have that conversation with Glenn Beck, so it's hard for me to really, you know, really say other than what I heard him say out of his own mouth. And then he tried to explain it, and all he did was screw it up even worse. He doesn't need to be having any goddamn press conferences anyway. I mean, look, everybody's got that Kim Kardashian fever. Got to get out there, got Kim Kardashian, to get home my own goddamn reality show. Christ almighty. But there are a lot of things that's going on here with this. And what really bothers me is, you know, now the left is going to use this. Racism, racism, racism. Look at this. Everybody on the right is a racist. Anybody who supports Bundy is a racist. So now you got all these announcers and everybody on TV, the talking heads and all the think tankers, and everybody's just running away. Don't connect me with the racists. Don't do that. Look at me, everybody. See, Clive and Bundy's bad. Ooh, boo. This is the problem. This is another problem this country is. We don't actually sit down and actually converse with each other. Maybe ask him questions. Did you really mean this? Did you really mean that? You really mean? No, he was trying to make a point. And what happened with the Jews in all over Europe and in Russia, they were treated very, very nicely, very well. Yeah, they were free from the frickin' gas and the, you know, the ovens. But were they really, really free? I don't know. He was talking about a trip that he took in Vegas where he's seen all these black people hanging out in the porch, doing nothing. Well, maybe, again, he's got some ignorance issues. I think he's a little ignorant. Maybe, again, he's been out on the range too long. They can't get cable TV out there. I don't know. But he does have some ignorance in him. So when he sees black people hanging out on the porch, well, white people hang out on their porch too, especially if they got a day off and it's frickin' summer and it's 180 goddamn degrees and the ice cream man just came by, so you're sitting on the porch eating your ice cream. It's a summer day. But he sees it as the kids have nothing to do. I mean, people go to war over things like this. Instead of, you know, trying to figure out exactly what's really being said, they immediately take offense to it. And then if one person says, oh, racism, then everybody, oh, racism, what? Run, run! God. Well, when I heard him say what he said, look, it didn't take me very long, his first interview. I did notice a guy that was, you know, a little bit, you know, maybe he's old, you know, a little slower, whatever. But when he said this, I didn't really take it as racism, racism, racism. Like he wished that black people... Now, if he'd have said, yeah, I want black people to go back into the plantations. Okay, now we got some alarms to set off. But he didn't say that. He was making a point. Yeah, you got your freedom from your master, but are you really free? You're stuck in a ghetto? That's the point he was trying to make. Maybe if he got out of the goddamn range once in a while and found out that maybe he wasn't in an actual ghetto, but what he saw on television. Again, this is his ignorance. I just think the guy's ignorant. I don't think he's racist. I just think he's, you know, he needs a little edumacations. You know, I need to take a vacation and go tour around the frickin' planet once in a while. Go around the country. You know, stop watching your stupid Kim Kardashian shows, reading those goddamn magazines, actually go out and experience it. So there's that element. I don't find this man as an actual racist. I don't see that in him. Now, if I'm wrong, again, I did not have a personal conversation with him. Evidently, he was a jerk to more than one of Beck's staffers. And Glenn Beck just had enough. Now, the guy was a jerk to the staff. Okay, you can deal with that level. That doesn't make him a racist because he's a jerk. Just makes him a jerk. What his problem is, I don't know. I'm not taking any sides on this because there's too many sides. I'm just like sitting back and watching all of the elements as they come together. And there's going to be more. Everybody's getting involved. But I don't like as soon as somebody says something, immediately racist, go away. This is a conversation that needs to be had. But first, you need to have the conversation in your own head. When you're listening to people speaking and you think, oh, immediately racism. Okay, well, let me continue listening to find out, is it really racism or is there a point somewhere? Was I not there at the very beginning and missed what he said before? Maybe I might be able to put it in the proper context. But no. They hear certain words and boom, immediately. General quarters, all hands, man your battle stations. Jesus, God. But when it's not over the Negro. It's not over grazing fees, not over turtles, wind farms. This is all about greed. Everything that's going wrong with this country today, greed, Wall Street, political corruption, we've got that in there. We've got racism now and phony racism. Whether this guy is a real racism or not, well, he's been dubbed now as a racist, so that's just the way it is. I didn't really take it that way. I'm not on his side. I'm not off his side. Other ranchers I know are pissed off that they got to pay their grazing fees, and he refuses to. Well, does he have a point? Now he's been to court a million times, and he's lost every time. But does he have an actual point? If they've been grazing on this land for since whenever, why all of a sudden do I got to pay these grazing fees? Why does the federal government have this land in the first place? And why isn't the state claiming, hey, wait a minute, what are you doing on this land? You can't have this. Well, there's this law and that law. And the problem is there's too many laws that say too many things that there isn't one law. So you can find one law that says it this way, and you can also find another law that says it that way. Now, what do we do? Well, whoever's got the most money is going to win. Again, do I think this Cliven Bundy is probably a jerk? Probably got some, you know, ignorance issues? Okay, yeah. But a racist? I'm not quite ready to go that direction yet. I just think it's a combination of ignorance and maybe it's frustration. Maybe it's he's got the Kim Kardashian flu and he wants to get his own goddamn reality program. I don't know. I don't know. Now, if there's other stuff that comes out that, that clearly says that they, you know, that he wants to see black people back into plantations, then we got something to really, really talk about. But I know what he's saying. Are they really better off? When you see, if you go to a ghetto and you see these black people and these kids, they're skipping school. They got nowhere to go. And if they do go to school, then, you know, they're not going to learn very much anyway. They go home. There's nothing at home. Their mama's gone. Nobody knows where, you know, daddy. Nobody's known who daddy's ever been. Mama may be at work. Maybe she's doing drugs. Maybe she's this. Maybe she's that. See, that's what he's associating with what he saw. But in Vegas, there isn't, you know, what he saw on television. I just think the guy's a little bit old, I think he's just a little bit senile and getting things confused. I'm not sticking up for him. I'm not apologizing for him. I'm not rationalizing his behavior. I mean, I'm just going by how I see him. I mean, what is he, 70, 80 something? Sometimes it happens. Guy's just been out. I think it's just ignorance, and I don't really sense the fine. He's a jerk. Okay, that's fine. There's a lot of people that are jerks. There's racists that are jerks. There's non-racists that are jerks. There's all different kinds of jerks, and anybody can be a jerk at any time they want to be. But as far as an actual racist, I'm not ready to go there yet. If there's more information that comes out, okay, fine. Then I guess I just don't have any choice. I mean, it is what it is. But I do think that we pull that racism trigger far too quickly. That's my point. We don't need to be labeling everybody racist. And both sides do it. It's not just one. I mean, the right does it because they think if they still got that mentality, too. And if they come out and say, oh, he's a racist, then everybody will think, well, then he can never be a racist because he just pointed to this guy to be a racist. So everybody's going to vote for him now because he's not the racist. This guy is. Well, that's not how it really works. Racism is in your heart. You can say all day long that you are or you're not. It doesn't mean that you are or you are not. I don't know. I just think that what's going on down there is a war that is going to, I think it's going to be the trigger. I think it's going to be the trigger to something big of everything that's going wrong. It's all right down there. All right, let's get into the scuttlebutt of the day here. Oh, my God, I talked to 45 minutes over that? This makes me sick. This Arizona, Virginia boss accused of covering up the veterans' deaths. I mean, having two different kinds of lists, they put people on a secret list. For what? Why? Why would you do that? Why would you do that? What is the real motive? Well, maybe we can find out. I haven't heard it yet, but what is, I mean, are you really that backed up? Are you just lazy, or are these people, they've been targeted? You don't like them because they, what, the wrong way, or they've been flagged by the government to be put on a special list? How high does this go up? Why is it even going on? A Veterans Affairs official accused of keeping double books to hide the fact that dozens of veterans died awaiting care previously ran a Washington State, Virginia facility that allegedly fudged suicide numbers. Sharon Hellman, director of Phoenix Veterans Affairs Healthcare System, is accused with other management officials, of keeping fake waiting lists that made it appear sick veterans were being treated in a timely manner, when they hid the real list, and it showed up 1,600. The sick veterans were waiting months before they saw a doctor. We do know that there was reports of people died waiting to see a doctor at the VA. Now, I go to the VA in Long Island. I've always been treated very, I got to say, I've always been treated very nicely. Pain in the ass, sometimes you got to wait forever. But, I mean, I've always been, and I've had to spend time in the hospital, 9 days. I was treated pretty well, I got to say. Better than the county hospitals, I can tell you that. So I got no complaints with the VA. But, again, I can't go by my experience. I can't go by their experience. I can only go by mine. But when there are reports, and it's not made up, it's not a phony scandal, it's real. That does happen. Why? I don't know. Why do they have children being stolen from their parents so psychologists can get, well, and social workers can keep their job? See, this is what governors are involved in. See, the governor, well, he realizes there's not enough kids for all these people. We're going to have to cut jobs. Well, we can't do that because then the unions won't support him. So there's only one way to do it. In order to keep everybody, all the Democrats, all the Democrats happy. And these people, the social workers most definitely do vote Democrat. Most often they're going to vote Democrat. And to keep these little unions happy, they're all in a union. Well, they're allowed basically to kidnap kids. And the governor turns a blind eye. For why? So he doesn't have to cut a job and balance his budget? He'll just go find a way to shut down a, well, coal mine. He'll take other jobs away. He'll do some cutbacks. He'll make sure the right feels it. This is the kind of stuff that we can no longer tolerate in this country. I mean, this kind of corruption, this kind of corruption kills. Children? We don't need to be doing that to children. They don't deserve that. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Goddamn child rapists get better care in prisons than this girl does. And we can't get one frickin' cowboy to come down in there and rescue her. But if it's over a cow or a turtle or a Harry Reid wind farm, well, then we've got to bring in the cavalry. Bring in the EPA commando squadrons. Bring in the BLM commando squadrons. Bring in the post office commando squadrons. 1,600 sick veterans were waiting months to see a physician. Wonder how long Charles Manson has to wait before he sees a physician. At least 40 veterans on the secret list allegedly died while waiting for appointments. Well, some people live, some people die. You know how it is. According to Kat Sebelius, you knew she was going to be the scapegoat. She was going to be the scapegoat for this from the very beginning. The American people have to pay the price for it, not her, not the president, the people that came up with this crap. It's the American people have to pay the price. Every time the government makes a mistake, that doesn't cost them anything. It costs you. Hey, it may cost them a couple of votes. Maybe they might lose the election. But they can still go back to their nice house and go play with their boat. They'll get another job somewhere. A consultant. Maybe write a book. Your memoirs. Ah, with your memoirs. Shut up. 40 veterans on the secret list allegedly died. Hellman was director of the Spokane facility. I know Spokane. I'm from Washington State. Been there several times. Hellman was director of the Spokane facility at the time the number of suicides were being misreported. Shortly after news revealed that such data had been falsified, Hellman was transferred to the VA facility in Hines, Illinois. See, this is what happens. Instead of firing these freaking people, maybe calling in a goddamn cop. I mean, you make your freaking fingers into the shape of a gun, and they'll call the goddamn police on you at 10 years old and put you in handcuffs and take you away and book you, fingerprint you, throw you in jail. But you let people sit on the sidelines and die, or you get promoted. We've got to cover it up. See, if we admit that there's a scandal, well, then we're going to look bad, and we can't have that. Then it's going to go all the way up to the governor. We can't have that. So here's what we do. We take this person, and we can't fire him. Fire him? Well, what are all these circumstances? Why were they fired? Why? What? Well, then you got to go out, and you got to give the truth. Well, you can't do that. Why? Well, certain people are going to be exposed. We can't have that. So we just move them up and make them look like they were better than what they were. They get a promotion. So now they're head of another department to totally screw up. Look, you get caught doing something like anything like this. Not only should you be fired, but you should be arrested. From there, Hellman moved to the Phoenix, where she became the director of the Phoenix Veterans Affairs Healthcare System. This is not the first time that Sharon Hellman, this is the one in charge of all this, the secret list, has been involved in an incident involving manipulation of patient data. She fudged the number of veterans' suicides at a previous job and was never fired. She just moved. Oh, yeah, nothing to see here. No. No Republicans were, involved in any of this. There's nothing to see here. No. Public records show that Hellman received a $9,345 bonus in addition to her annual base salary of $169,900. So she basically gets another 10 grand. Here you are. I should buy you a nice pool. Leadership, management, and accountability is all we have ever required of the Virginia William, wait a minute, of the VA, not Virginia. Idiot. William Thine, a Vietnam veteran from Georgetown, Indiana, who leads the 1.9 million member Veterans of Foreign Wars and its auxiliaries said in a statement Thursday. We didn't need to have that part. Who puts this crap in here? I don't need to read that. I don't give a damn. Stupid statements. I was a member of my VA in Vancouver, Washington. I didn't do the charter here in Massachusetts, or Massapequa, where I lived, and it was walking distance. I should have done it. But see, I'm not a big group guy. I don't go to, it's hard for me to, I went to the other one. I've been to them before. And I like them, but I mean, I'm not a big group guy. I've never been a, just big group. I'm not a loner, but I mean, I'm just not, I don't know. Anyway, moving on. When you're dealing with lives, there should be no leniency granted to anyone. Well, yeah, especially when they're in a cover-up. And instead of firing this person, she gets a promotion. I mean, in government, the bigger you lie, the bigger lie you tell, the bigger mess you make, the more money you make, the higher promotion you get. I mean, how do you get away with this? Oh, because it's government? What does that mean? Just because it's government means there's no accountability and you can't get fired? And now that other dude, do we got that story in here somewhere? Yeah, let's get into that here. Yeah, here it is. He is the ex-Department of Homeland Security. He was the watchdog. He was the inspector general. Well, he's there to inspect and make sure Homeland Security is doing what they're supposed to be doing, which I don't believe Homeland Security should have been an agency that should have been developed. We already got enough. We need to stop with the goddamn agencies. Look, if you need to expand the FBI, then expand the FBI. You need to get another department, but we don't need any more of these damn departments. We got too many departments, and too many people are answering to too many people, and nobody's in charge, and they do that deliberately. So people can get orders down the list, and nobody knows where it came from. But yet here it is, and we have to follow it. And if you don't, well, then, well, you go to jail, and you get, you know, whatever. Get shot. That's what I don't like about government. All this bureaucracy is designed specifically so nobody, except for the low guy, gets caught. The higher up the pyramid you go, well, the less opportunity you got to, you know, to get caught. Even though we know that most of this stuff is coming from the very top. Benghazi, Fast and Furious, IRS. Stimulus packages. I'm sorry, but that's criminal. That's almost $1 trillion. Literally, stolen from the taxpayer and given to his friends, union bosses, all of his little buddies, his campaign donors, all of his little stupid friends who want to open up these stupid green companies, which they know aren't going to make it. It wasn't about that. It was about making money. They open up some bogus company. Oh, look at it. Obama's down there in our freaking photo op looking at it. Oh, look at this. This is great. The technology. Look what I created. Look at this. Oh, my stimulus package. Oh, the economy is better. Everything is working. Hope and change. Hope and change. Shortly after, it goes bankrupt. Of course, it was designed to go bankrupt. But then I don't know how they can go bankrupt and yet still get a multi-million dollar bonus check. And it wasn't just Solyndra. There were several other companies that did the same thing, and they all got bonus checks. They made money off the taxpayer. Obama took that money and paid back his campaign donors. And he's still paying back campaign donors with your money. He is stealing the taxpayers' money and giving to his friends. Well, let's just say that I walk into, you know, First National Bank. I go in there and I hold it up and I just open up the safe and just start taking out all the money. Start handing it out to all my friends. Just my friends and good friends. Just hand it out to them and just go down bank by bank. Then make my way to Fort Knox. Just start taking out money from Fort Knox and just start handing it out to my friends. Here you go. Here's some gold bars. There's some cash. Take it and have a great time. You deserved it. You earned it. You voted for me. Don't you think I'd go to jail? I'm pretty sure I would. Something tells me that it wouldn't take very long, and yeah, they'd capture me. They'd throw me in jail, and I'd spend the rest of my life in jail. But if you're a president, well, you get reelected. Can't put handcuffs on a president. Well, why? Well, because he's black. If you do, well, that's racist. I'm sick and tired of that stupid word, racist. No more racism. I mean, when real racism comes, I mean, we can't recognize it. I mean, you got that that stupid Jimmy Williams, remember him, from MSNBC? When he compared that rodeo clown, remember when he wore that Obama mask, which they've been doing for years? And they put a mask of a president on, and they make fun of the president, doesn't matter who they are, Republican or Democrat. But because he's black, now all of a sudden it's racist. But he compared that rodeo clown, who lost his job, by the way, because of that, which has been a tradition for I don't know how many years, didn't have a problem when they made fun of Ronald Reagan. Didn't have a problem when they made fun of George Bush. But Obama, he's black. You can't say anything. He's beyond reproach. Can't touch him. Nope. But he compared that guy as a modern-day lynching. How is that a modern-day lynching? I mean, if you've seen the pictures of lynching, not something that I can make the connection to. Just say it. Joe Scarborough, he's an idiot. He's not conservative. He's a moron. And his stupid show and that stupid Mika Dominski, God damn, that woman irritates me. I'm not even going to quote this idiot. The Media Action Network for Asian Americans. How about the Media Action Network for Americans? Why do we got to put everybody in a group? I thought we were all supposed to be united. Well, you're united, but, you know, you're the wrong color to be in here. You got to go over to that side. See over there? You go to that sector. And what if you're mixed and you got black and you got Asian and you got white and you got all kinds of stuff? Eskimo. Arab. You got everything in you. Then what? Where do you go there? Well, you're a mutt. You know, you're not wanted anywhere. But the Media Action Network for Asian Americans was furious over a scene in a pilot for a TV show. It was called Dads. According to MANA, M-A-N-A-A, everybody's got to come up with a, you know, an acronym. Oh, MANA. Shut up. The Media Action Network for Asian Americans? What do you mean by Action Network? What are you going to do? What does that mean, Media Action? And why is it for Asian Americans? Why can't it just simply be for Americans? But according to them, this pilot was going to feature a scene with a young woman dresses up like a sexy Asian schoolgirl. Well, not for nothing, but when I read that, I mean, immediately my interest went up. I don't take that as racist. You see what I'm talking about? People just love to use anything they can in any direction that they can. Now, this, I didn't take that as racist. I don't know. Joyanne Reed, she criticized people who actually take the Second Amendment seriously. This is how she looks at it, as follows. A sort of neo-Confederate thread that runs through the pro-gun movement and the NRA movement. Well, her way of thinking, that is a movement, not something that you generally flush. A sort of neo-Confederate thread. Okay, what she means by that? This is code. Racist. Because if you're on the Confederate side, you believe in slavery. Well, truth be told, more northern soldiers actually probably had slaves than the southern soldiers. Southern soldiers didn't have slaves. Slaves were expensive. No boys fighting a war did not have slaves. But why does it have to be, why do you have to put that element in there, that element of racism? Because, see, it's very touchy. And so they can get away with it. Once it becomes a touchy subject, well, then people can take advantage of it. Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, that freaking moron. I can't stand either one of them clowns, this race baiting. See, racism, real racism, okay, that is something to discuss. That is something to take care of. But you cannot use racism in every single, wherever you can. Somebody says that racism, racist, racist, racist. Now, I don't know, again, I don't have all the information with that Cliven Bundy, but what I read to you is all that I've really heard him say. I did not take him as, I took him more ignorant than racist. I'm not really quite there to go in that camp there. But when you have all these people that come out and they make all these horrible statements, I mean, the guy, the director for The Butler, he says, we're still living in a racist country. Really? How about this?
I'm saying we're going to have to kill some crackers.
Yep, kill some crackers.
We're going to have to kill some cracker babies.
Kill them cracker babies.
Huh? Yes, sir. To hell with what National Geographic putting out. I'm telling you to your face here tonight. We're going to have to kill some little Penelope and some little Robbies. You want to be free, don't you?
Yes,
y'all bullshit me. Not sound like that.
Why we got to kill them?
Kill them all.
You don't want to be free,
All right, we've heard enough. On and on and on. We got to kill them. We got to kill them all. See, the media don't cover that. But Cliven Bundy says the word Negro and everybody flips. Again, I mean, look, I'm not coming to his defense. I'm not coming to his side. I'm not taking anybody's side of this. I'm sitting at the top of the hill out here, looking down at the valley here of this giant stew that is being created. And it's going to explode. The pressure is going to be so much. It's going to have no choice but to explode. There's too many people involved. Everybody wants their power. Everybody's trying to take total power of the total situation, and you've got all these little sub-elements being attached to it. And it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And for what? But yet we still have kids being kidnapped, and we can't get anybody. Nobody pay attention. No. No, we can't do that. No. Well, if we did, we'd have to do some paperwork and then, you know, answer questions. And I don't know. It's just a lot of work. We can't have that. I'm looking for a song here. We got to take a little break here. And then we come back, and I want to finish this, and I've got to open up my security chest here. Security chest? Good God. Definitely we need a break here now. I need some definite grog. My treasure chest, security. There's no security. So we'll play a couple of attack ads here that we haven't played in a while. But we got to get these out. And when we come back, we'll get into a whole bunch of other stuff. But again, this whole racism, I can't... I think maybe the problem is maybe we're talking about it too much. Maybe we should just shut up. Maybe that's a problem, because everybody's trying to act now. We've got to talk, and now everybody's, well, we got to have my opinion. If I don't voice my opinion, then people are going to think that, you know, I'm not paying attention and I'm not following along. So they come up and they say something completely stupid. They have no idea what they're talking about. Pissing everybody off on this side, and this side over here loves them. I think maybe that's the goddamn problem, is maybe we're just talking too much. We're not talking about the right kind of things that we should be talking about. That I know for a fact. I don't hear anything coming out of Al Sharpton's mouth that is even worthy of having to sit through. Jesse Jackson, too, all of them. Now, look, I did not hear that Clive and Bundy say that he wants to see all black people as slaves. I didn't hear him say that. Now, if he did and I didn't hear it, okay, fine. There's something to talk about. But I didn't hear that. And I think people are just too quick to pull that racism trigger instead of shutting up, paying attention, and listening. Now, obviously, the guy's a little old. I think he's more ignorant than racist. I really believe that. But this war, again, is over a lot more than just what we see. So we got to keep up that fight. It's only going to get more. This is going to be, I think, this could be the beginning of something either, you know, a beautiful relationship or a freaking disaster. So I'm open for the beautiful relationship. We'll find out. So we'll be back in just a minute.
What I haven't been willing to negotiate, and I will not negotiate, is on the debt.
Yeah, I'm just going to have to reiterate, John, the president's made clear he's not going to be negotiating over the debt
Look,
limit.
The president's been very clear. He's not negotiating on the debt limit.
What I will not do is to have that negotiation.
Let me reiterate what our position is, and it is unequivocal. We will not negotiate with Republicans in Congress. He will certainly meet with Putin.
I did discuss this with President Putin. This is something that is not new. I've been discussing this with President Putin for some time now.
We're going to work with the Russians.
Mr. Prime Minister, we are serious, as you are, about engaging in substantive, meaningful negotiations.
Negotiations.
We are prepared to negotiate in good faith, in mutual respect.
For decades, the White House, the Congress, have used the debt limit to find bipartisan solutions on the deficit and the debt.
Ah, yeah. Shut up, Boehner. I'm going to have to edit that off. I'm tired of listening to him. I'm sick and tired of all these people, as a matter of fact. But I really do believe, I think it is time for us to shut up. Start accepting people and finding people for who they are, not because of their goddamn skin tone. If you're a jerk, you're a jerk. What do you want? Hey, look, you can be a jerk in any color. But you can't be a jerk just because you are a color. I mean, I can go on and on and on with all these freaking quotes here of all the, you know, the stuff, but you don't hear it from the, oh, no, well, it's Roseanne Barr, you know, so what? Al Gore, okay. Well, now they got this guy says Negro, and the word slavery, and that's all people heard. Now, again, this with Glenn Beck, I don't know what he actually told him, but yeah, is this guy a little off his rocker? Okay. Probably a little bit, but a real racist, eh. Well, again, I didn't have the conversation. I don't know. But judging by that, and even saying the word Negro, I find him just more ignorant, a little naive of a whole couple of generations that have, come and gone. And this guy's still stuck in, I don't know, the 50s. I don't know. Been on the range, for God's sake, since 1962. I don't know. But let's move on here. Now we've got this so-called inspector general who's supposed to be overseeing the Homeland Security. Instead, he's buddying up to him. He's going out to dinner with old Napolitano, which is another crooked creep. He's hanging out with him, and he's giving him good marks and good records and hiding, you know, the Secret Service from being booze hounds and buying hookers and out drinking and whatnot. Look, now to me, I mean, Secret Service to me should be put on a higher pedestal. I'm sorry, but it should be, there should be a certain decorum. Can't have a drink 10 hours before you go on shift. Okay, what if you've had like 30 before that 10 hours? After 10 hours, no. You're still going to be hungover, and you're supposed to protect the president? You're not going to be that vigilant. See, I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that. Now, those people that guard unnamed soldier, see, that's an honor to them. They're not allowed to cuss in public. They got to go through this, they got to go through that, and they can get fired very, very quickly. There's a code there. I'm not saying that you need to go to that level, but nobody wants to take, when you take an oath, nobody wants to take it. Nobody wants to follow it. The president certainly hasn't followed his oath that he took in the Constitution, because I certainly don't find him upholding it and defending it. I find him destroying it. So this guy here, he's supposed to be making an investigation on these people. But no, there was no, we'll cover this up and we'll cover that up, because he wanted to get the top job. So he thought that if he, you know, hit a few records and hit a few this and hit a few that, well, that guy's a really good guy. He's playing ball with us, and we can go out and we can commit a bunch of crimes, and he'll cover it up for us. So yeah, let's make him the permanent guy. And I think that's what Lois Lerner was trying to do too, with other people. They got a little bit overzealous and thought that, you know, the administration was going to think of them as, you know, well, a hero, and oh, they're doing a real good job. So let's defend her. No, and let me tell you something, Lois Lerner, Obama's not going to come to your defense. So if you want immunity, you need to spill the beans. It went to the president and the attorney general, did it not? Pretty sure it probably did. You want immunity, you spill the beans. Other than that, nope. You can't point to the attorney general and president, which we all know. Well, we don't know, but we're smart enough to figure out. We can add. So this guy wants to become the permanent inspector general. Goes out to dinner and dumbing up and falsifying the records. Now, getting back to the Secret Service, again, you need to be on a higher level. I mean, I don't care if you cuss in public and all that, but you need to have some kind of, you know, standard. And if you're going to be overseas, for God's sakes, let me tell you, you got to keep your cool. You get into one of them jails, I mean, you can get in a lot of trouble. And that's just what you have to go through in their jail. And then when you get out, it should be at least 24 hours you should be drinking. You shouldn't be, look, when you're on shift, you shouldn't be drinking. I don't care if you're overseas. Yeah, you want to go out and you want to see the sights and you got some time off, but look, you're there to do a job. You're there to protect the president. They can get the president, they can get anybody. Look, I don't like the guy. I don't like the president, but I don't want the bastard shot. And I don't like the fact that people just, you know, oh, well, that's Secret Service, oh, big deal. No. Secret Service, I mean, come on. I mean, you get caught sleeping on watch in the military, you get in a lot of trouble. Trust me, seen a lot of guys go down doing that, sleeping on the watch out to sea. Doesn't matter. There's no ships around or not. You do not sleep on watch. In the wartime, you can get shot. But we don't have that anymore. We don't have accountability. We don't have responsibility anymore. We can't do that. Nobody wants to get in trouble. Well, so what? Look, I've been in trouble ever since, as long as I can remember. I'm in trouble for something all the time. You get used to it. Don't worry about it. Stop worrying about getting in trouble. Let's just do your goddamn job. So now there's a report. They got another subcommittee who's going to do a report. And they're going to have a vote and another discussion. And then it goes to the other committee. And then it goes to John Boehner and takes a dump. By the time they get anything done out of here, I mean, this will be three presidents down the friggin' line. So in the wake of this report, this toxic report, that determined that he jeopardized the independence of his office by socializing with senior DHS officials and had reports altered or delayed to accommodate the department he was supposed to oversee. But DHS Secretary Jeh Johnson, now why does he spell his name J-E-H? That bugs me. I don't know why it bothers me, but I wish he would fix it. But there's nothing I can do about it. Jeh Johnson, maybe it's short for, I don't know, something else. Doesn't really bother me that much. I'm just saying. I don't think I like this guy, by the way. Of course, he's a Democrat, so why would I like him? Because I'm a hater. Don't you know? I just hate. DHS Secretary Jeh Johnson announced that Edwards, who after leaving the acting IG post, took a different job at DHS, would be placed on administrative leave. So again, instead of firing him, gives him another job and he's on paid administrative leave. First of all, I think that administrative leave pay should be put on hold until they determine whether you are, you know, guilty or not. If you are ultimately fired, no. You do not get your pay. If they determined that there is nothing to see here and it was all a big hoax and a big misunderstanding, fine. Then you can get your back pay. But you should not be able to get paid for, you know, a manner such as this, especially when the evidence is overwhelming. I think your administrative leave pay should be put on hold. You don't get it until, you know, I know you're innocent until proven guilty, but why should you sit at home and benefit off the taxpayer when you've been stealing from them? When you've been lying? When you've been buddying up to people? God only knows what the hell else you've been doing. Look, accountability, you know, is accountability. But this guy wanted a higher post. He was trying to do everything he could to suck up, and I think that's what happened to Lois Lerner. She did that too. Well, she's going to find out that they're not really going to defend her that much. She's going to be left on her own. I know she's got a couple attorneys and all, but push comes to shove, nah. They're going to leave her in the dust, man. The report also included, though did not confirm, allegations that the Edwards office had on information about the 2012 Secret Service prostitution scandal. Oh. That could influence an election. Uh-oh. Democrats don't know how to run an election without influence, without cheating. Mitt Romney won that election. I still think he won Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Virginia. I still believe that. But there's nothing you can do about it. He should have won a bunch of other states, and we wouldn't have had to worry about those three. So you can't really look at it that way and cry in your beer. We got to do what we can right now to pick up the frickin' pieces. And it starts with us. You cannot expect the politicians to do this. They're not going to do it. They should, but they're not, and they won't, and they never have, and they never will, because there's no accountability. Accountability is within us. We have to hold them accountable. And if we don't, well, we're not accountable. Nobody wants to be held accountable. Oh, my God. Then I'll get blamed for something. I can't have that. Jesus, God Almighty. Only knows what's going to happen with this guy. Nobody knows. Who knows? I don't know. I don't care. He's a creep. He shouldn't go to jail. A lot of these people should go to jail. They got all these allegations on this guy. But a hotel registry suggested two non-Secret Service personnel may have had contact with foreign nationals during that trip. Well, I'm sure they did have contact. Who was bent over and who wasn't? On allegations of White House advance team members may have been involved. Of course they were. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on and on. But Secret Service, I mean, look, if I'm the president and I got people drinking and passing out drunk, I'm going to be shaking up that Secret Service. The next one of you sons of bitches are out there boozing it up and pass out and you're going to be protecting me all hungover? No. I mean, Secret Service should be put on a higher level. I'm sorry. And you as the president, Mr. Obama, don't you... Why, you don't want security? I guess not. What the hell else we got in here today? 22 Republican senators denounced President Barack Obama in a scathing letter. Oh, God. More letters. Your actions demonstrate an astonishing disregard for the Constitution, the rule of law, and the rights of American citizens and legal residents. Quote, unquote. Our entire constitutional system is threatened when the executive branch suspends the law at its whim, and our nation's sovereignty is imperiled when the commander-in-chief refuses to defend the integrity of its borders. Quote, unquote. Obama's Homeland Security Secretary, old Jay Johnson again, met with advocacy groups. I hate that word. Advocacy. Try to say that after about six pints of grog. Good luck. Speaking of which, he spoke with advocacy groups last month to reportedly consider administrative actions, such as granting more forms of amnesty, not deporting illegal immigrants who have not committed major crimes, whatever that's supposed to mean. We know what's happening there in Chicago. Oh, no, there's no major crime. Yeah, but the 13-year-old kid's got six bullets in his head. What do you mean that's not a major crime? Oh, that was just a minor robbery. It was just, you know, a small little petty theft. That's all. Nothing much. Nothing's here. Those who have not committed major crimes and allowing bond hearings for illegal immigrants to further erode the nation's laws. Well, again, they're cooking the books. Everybody's cooking the books. This is what happens to liberalism. They realize these numbers aren't working. They can't work. They won't work. We're screwed. We have to now fake these numbers. Otherwise, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. Well, you can only fake the numbers for so long. And eventually, those real numbers are going to come out. And guess what? Well, you get a city like Detroit. Goes completely bankrupt. Well, you're going to start to see this more and more and more and more and more. This is what liberalism brings. There's no accountability, no responsibility, and it doesn't matter if people go bankrupt. They still got a job. What the hell do they care? As long as they can get the people to keep voting for them, what the hell do they care? And why people are keep voting for this, I don't understand. I can't figure out how you could possibly vote a Democrat. It's difficult to vote some of these Republicans. But to vote Democrat is impossible. Can't do it. Can't do it. But everybody's got to cook the books because they know that their ways don't work. Oh, look at this. Look at the crime rate. It's down. Oh, look at the Obamacare numbers. Everybody's signing up. God. I mean, how do people go to sleep at night? I mean, this is big. Okay, lying whether you took a couple of cookies out of the goddamn cookie jar or not. Lying to grandma or lying to mom, that's one thing. When you're lying to the American people, people's lives are at stake. People's livelihoods, people's health care, people's lives, period. Their whole way of life, their meaning of life, everything about them is shot. It's gone. For what? So you can get reelected? So you can look like a hero and write a memoir? Oprah is a horrible show, by the way. I don't find that woman very talented. I'm sorry. I find her interviews boring. I find her boring. I find her very hard to look at. I mean, you want to talk about racist. I get racism out of her. But you can't say that because she's black. Now I'm a racist because I take Oprah Winfrey. I mean, she says some, I really don't care what other people say. I really don't care. You want to make racist comments about me? Knock yourself out, kid. You're not going to get me all exercised because I just really don't care what you say. You're an idiot. But when they get away with it and Cliven Bundy says Negro, and now everybody's got to scatter. If he was black and said that same thing, he would have gotten a stand-up applause. Standing ovation. Just think about that. And you've heard civil rights speeches with that same kind of sentiment. Oh, we're not really saved, we're still slaves. Well, you're only a slave if you allow yourself to be a slave. That's what it boils down to. The real reality. If you feel you're a slave, well, again, I know it's hard to imagine, but you can get yourself out of it. You're only allowing yourself to be the slave. Don't do it. There are ways out. You can get out. You just have to do it. Might require that you think. Might require that you turn the television off. Stop playing your video games, your smartphones. Stop texting, get off that goddamn Facebook, and no more frickin' tweets. All right, what else they got in here? These policies have operated as an effective repeal of duly enacted federal immigration laws and exceed the bounds of the executive branch's prosecutorial. Oh, God, why do they got to put these stupid names in here that I can't pronounce? God damn it. Executive branch's prosecutorial discretion. Oh, got it out. We'll make it. It's not the province of the executive to nullify the laws that the people of the United States, through their elected representatives, have chosen to enact. This is another problem. Everybody thinks that they can just start rewriting frickin' laws. The president, he's got a pen and a phone. He can give you shit. I mean, he can do anything he wants. He's rewritten the Constitution I don't know how many times. He can rewrite any new law. He can write anything. And if Congress won't act, well, then he'll just do it himself. EPA, they're writing laws and making regulations. Everybody's just making laws up. The BLM, they're making laws up. Everybody's making laws up, and nobody wants to sit here and follow this one. This is the law of the land, that's been settled. Called the Constitution. It's been around. All we have to do is follow it. I don't understand why we can't. I don't know what is so restrictive about it. I don't see that. I'm looking through everything here. I don't see that this government is really all that restricted. I mean, they've got a lot of power. What more does the government need to do? Why do they need to do more than what is in here in the Constitution? Why do they need to do more? They're already making, they can make any damn law they want to. They're already making millions of dollars. Insider trading, it's okay for, you know, politician or congressman to insider trade. But if you make cookies on TV, you got to go to jail. She should have ran for office if she'd have never... She'd have never gone to jail. Imagine that. I never liked Martha Stewart. Personally, I think her ideas suck. I don't find her all that creative. I find her show boring. She spits and sputters and stutters worse than me. I can't watch her show. I don't find it all that interesting. The stuff she makes are not all that creative. Kind of boring. Nevertheless, not really coming to her defense. But if she were a member of Congress, she would never have gone to jail. That's the point that I'm making. Whether you like her or not is irrelevant. She might be a nice old bird. I don't know. I never personally met her, so I can't comment on her personally. But what I can comment on, if she would have been a member of Congress, she never would have gone to jail. Committing the same act. That's the problem. American workers have the right to the protections of our immigration laws afford. But the administration has nullified those protections while simultaneously pushing to double the flow of future guest workers into the United States. These policies make it more difficult for the working poor of all backgrounds to rise into the middle class. Well, again, that's the point. They don't want a middle class. They want more poor people. More poor people means more Democrat votes. Just the way it is. Why? I don't know. I'm not that naive. I'm not that gullible. I'm not that goddamn stupid. So I can't figure it out. He also said that not even though evidence proves that the administration has collapsed immigration enforcement. Of course they have. They need those voters. But to satisfy the right and make it look like he's, you know, the deporter in chief, they just pick a certain part where they know these guys are going to try to come over. They come over, slap them in the ass, send them back over. They keep coming across. It's a game. And they keep counting how many times they come over and get pushed back, back and forth, back and forth. It's like a game. But if you make it across the border, which isn't very difficult, they've got these guys' hands strapped. They're not allowed to arrest these people crossing the border illegally. Try to be an illegal alien in Mexico. See how quickly you go to jail. And see what kind of jail you go to. See what kind of fines are levied upon you. Oh, you don't have any money, do you now? Well, your life ain't worth spit now. You're not going to make it. You'd probably end up dead. But this son of a bitch can come over into our chamber, our House of Representatives, and chastise us for our immigration laws and then get a standing ovation by the Democratic Party. I swear to God, man, that sent me off. That was disgusting. Every single one of those Democrats should have been removed from office effective immediately for that one. That was almost treason. Especially coming from a president, what they do to the illegal aliens in their country? And a lot of them are actually Mexican. You can be Mexico, live in Mexico your entire life. You get in the wrong area and you can't prove that you're an actual citizen. You're an illegal alien. You go to jail. And this guy's going to come into our country and our House of Representatives and chastise our country for our immigration laws, which allow people to basically come over here and live, and we give them welfare and medical care and housing and whatnot. And for the Democratic Party to stand up and applaud him, that was disgusting. The senators also cited, there's 28 of them, I think, 22 of them. I got their names. The senators also cited the testimony to Congress from Chris Crane, who is the president of the National ICE Council. We all know who ICE is. Who said the Obama administration is not only handcuffing the ICE agents, but also taking disciplinary actions against its own officers for making lawful arrests. So if you make an arrest, somebody crosses a border, and they're carrying in a big old backpack full of cocaine, and they got a machine gun, and they got other kinds of apparatuses on them that most people would consider illegal, and if you were white, you'd be thrown in jail. It appears clear that the federal law enforcement officers are the enemy and not those that break our nation's laws. So you can come in here across the border. Knives, guns, and all kinds of weaponry. God only knows what else you got. Maybe a brick or two of heroin. Maybe some peyote. And you get arrested, well, that arresting officer is a racist and a hater. And he must be punished. So his entire career now working for ICE is ruined because he dared to make an arrest. His job. And all these goddamn senators can do is write a frickin' letter? This is it? This is your way you fight back? No, 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 no! Far too long that this stuff is going on. This is too much stuff. Mr. Gowdy, Mr. Boehner, anybody in Congress, please, no more. No more of these speeches, no more tweets, no more going to court. It is impeachment time. This entire administration needs to go. We need to set a precedence that we cannot do this. Are there people that need to go to jail for a lot of these things that's going on here? Yeah. We had people die. We had people get a lot of money stolen. There's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of corruption. There's a lot of things going on. Country is ever going to have an opportunity to heal, to begin to heal, to really heal. Not just put a goddamn Band-Aid over a sliced up jugular vein. We need to really, really heal. No more Band-Aids, no more superficial. No. We need to fix what's deep inside. And it starts with the mind. We've got to change our mindset before we can change our culture, before we can change anything. We've got to have it in our mindset that this kind of stuff is unacceptable. We cannot allow our government, our leaders, to do the things that they have been doing. What they did with the stimulus package, Fast and Furious, Benghazi, IRS, NSA. What they're doing with children, taking them from their parents just so they can keep their goddamn phony baloney job. Throw them in a room to die with no medical attention. Goddamn Charles Manson gets medical attention. How come Justina Pelletier can't? Huh? Well, she's not worth very much. Can't make any steaks out of her. Can't produce any milk out of her. Can't make any soup out of her. Certainly can't make any wind out of her. What the hell is she worth? Not very much. Can't even talk and walk. I mean, come on. I mean, if she had horns on her, I mean, we might be able to do something, at least send somebody up here. At least acknowledge it. Maybe throw it in the back pages somewhere of a local newspaper, but she's not worth anything. She's only a human life, man. I mean, that's not worth very much. Jesus Christ Almighty! How did we get here? How did we get to the point where We know our government is doing this, and nobody, and just, oh, well. Why are there not any law enforcement agencies on top of this? That's what really blows my mind, is I don't understand why there's no law enforcement agencies of any kind anywhere right on top of this. Boom, 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 boom. Well, I had a couple other things I was going to get into today, but we're not. But that's all right. I got a couple other things here I want to talk about here real quick. I know we got about, what, 12, 13 minutes. But a 10-year-old girl goes up and meets the first lady. I can't really call her a lady. Michelle Obama. No one knew she was going to do this. And she goes up there and throws the, not only the first lady off guard, but throws the whole audience off guard. I don't know what grade she's in. I think she's in fourth grade, fifth grade, whatever. But a young girl gets up there and comes up to the stage and meets Michelle Obama and hands her her father's resume. My dad's been out of work for over 3 years. Here's his resume. And she's looking at it like, what the hell am I supposed to do with this? You know, my husband can't do anything with this. His job is to destroy jobs, not create them. What the hell am I supposed to do with this? You know, and then she realized, oh, I better do something. You know, so she gets up and gives her a hug. You know, it's kind of delayed. Of course, it was a little bit taken. She was taken aback. Of course, I think everybody was. Nobody expected her to do this. But she's out there looking for, you know, a job for her dad. She, you know, Michelle Obama. Well, at least she's doing something for her dad. She had no idea what to say. She had no idea what to say. What she should have said was, yeah, my husband's a freaking jerk. And he took your daddy's job away. So when I get back to Washington, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to take this letter and I'm going to shove it up his ass and make damn sure that your father gets a job. And, of course, all these other 91.5 million other Americans get a job. But that's not going to happen. But to think that, first of all, that she would do anything anyway. I mean, the girl is desperate. She just wants her dad to get a job and out of work for 3 years. Michelle Obama doesn't know what to do, nor does she care. You think she really cares about that? Well, it's a photo op now here, she realized. And so she, oh, goes and gives her a hug. And then she gets a second hug at the end. Hey, look, I hope the little girl's dad finds a job. I hope the 91.5 million other Americans find a job. But it looks like the first lady and Eric Holder, well, wherever they want to speak, it looks like people are saying, no, we don't want you here. Eric Holder gets his plans canceled. He was supposed to deliver a speech to a bunch of Oklahoma City police cadets. He got protested on. They don't want him. They don't need him. They don't want him. Nobody wants him. Nobody wants this administration. I don't know why we keep screwing around with them. Why can't we impeach them? I mean, look, this entire administration, not just the president. And again, this is not a Barack Obama thing. This is not a Democrat thing. Not a Republican thing. This is a government thing. This is an American thing, and we have to fix it. This is a government doing this, and the government has been doing this for far too long. It didn't just happen. Although it does seem like we just woke up all of a sudden 5 years ago into what the hell? I mean, immediately I didn't really recognize our country under Clinton. I didn't like Bill Clinton. I still don't. I didn't like where we were going. But I was young enough at the time to not really, you know, pay a whole lot of no never mind. I was in the car business, so I was working a lot. That's all I did was work. I didn't really have. There was no time. I worked 7 days a week. It was a, you know, but I had fun. I worked hard all day and played hard all night. Didn't sleep for several years, but that's all right. I had a good time. And I learned a lot of lessons along the way, and that's all it takes in life, man. You can learn a lesson just sitting in a goddamn park watching the birds. You can learn a lesson anywhere. Sitting in the middle of the Badlands. On a lawn chair, you can learn a lesson. You just got to think. and allow your mind to think. Allow logic to come in, common sense. But see, we can't do that anymore. If you can't Google the son of a bitch, you can never find out what the answer is. Everything's in Google. Google, Google, Google. Blah! Enough with Google. God damn it. Go out and live. Now you'll find the frickin' answer. Life's answers are not in Google. So nobody wants Eric Holder. Nobody wants the First Lady wherever they want to speak. I don't want him. Wish we could find another country that would take him, but they don't want him. God almighty. Who cares? I'm done. It's Friday. This week is over. I've got a whole bunch of stuff to do today, this afternoon. Some pretty good stuff. I can't talk about it now, but it is political. Can't talk about it now, and it is entertainment-wise. But when we're done, we will talk about it. Anyway, I want to thank everybody that was listening today. My good friend Vito Esposito. How you doing, Mama Mia No Sharia, my good friend? Looks like there were some other people in there. Ron Beck, there were some other people in there. And everybody that was listening on their smartphones, and everybody who's going to download this weekend, everybody have a happy and a very safe and enjoyable weekend. And we'll see you back here tomorrow morning, or Monday morning at 10 a.m. Goodbye.